I'm very grateful to Chevra Lomdei Mishnah for inviting me to share with you on the very important subject of learning Mishnayos, especially the Ilui Nishmas, a departed one, for the sake of elevating the soul of a loved one. And I'm also very grateful to Rabbi Hickens for inviting me to share with you on this subject. So I'm going to start at the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah at Mamad HaSinai. The Torah, in its skeletal definition, is really two items. There are trillions, unlimited layers of the Torah, but in its skeletal definition, the Torah contains a storyline, and contained in the storyline, with no apparent order, are Tariag Mitzvahs, 613 instructions. The storyline, Bria Sa'olam, Bria Sa'adam, 10 generations from Adam till Noach, the Mabul wipes out mankind, begins again with Noach. Chapter 12 enters Avram Avinu onto the map of the Torah, and from this moment onwards, Hashem has no other interest in any part of mankind. If the Plishtim or Mitzrim are mentioned, it's only in the context of Avram Avinu, Sarah Menu, Yitzhak and Yaakov, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, and the Shiftei Kah. The Shvatim go down to Mitzrayim. They're really looking for their brother. Yosef was sold there, reunited, Shibud Mitzrayim, 10 Makos, Makos 10, and then Matan Torah, and then 40 years in the Midbar, end of Chumash, 2,488 years. Contained in the storyline are Tariag Mitzvahs. Now, if you were a child learning Torah from your father or a Rebbe amongst the 10, 50, 100, 1,000 in the Midbar, 40 years in the Midbar in the desert, when you would have the minimal skill set to understand the words, you know, Shorashim, prefixes, suffixes, so you can make sense of the text, will you be able to understand what's going on there? Or will you have questions? Oh, you're going to have questions. Why? Because the text was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, so anyone who understands how to read and can make sense of the words will immediately realize the Torah is breaking its own rules. Lashon Zachar is supposed to be Nekeva. Nekeva is supposed to be Zachar. Yachid is supposed to be Rabin. Rabin is supposed to be Yachid. Plural, singular. It's breaking its own rules. Every single pasuk. Why is it that way? In order to force the child to think. Now, it took 1,300 years of transmitting the missing information contained in the psukim, in the verses, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the then president of the Jewish people, committed the missing information, the Torah Shebaal Peh, to writing. That text, we all know, is the Mishnah. And that's what we're going to talk about. But let's understand, what does it mean that's the Mishnah? What does it mean that now the oral law, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is in writing? So let me share with you a very simple analogy which Rabbi Shamshul Rafael Hirsch offers to understand what is the distinction between the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebaal Peh. If you go to a lecture, can you imagine that? And you're at this lecture and you actually enjoy it, so you're taking notes. And at the end of the lecture, you go to your husband, your wife, your friends, and you say, you know, that was a great lecture. Let me share with you my notes. Now, why will it be that you will not be successful in reconstructing the lecture from the notes that your friend or your spouse gave you of the lecture? Well, there's lots of reasons. Okay, it might be they can't read your handwriting, but let's assume they can. Well, there's an asterisk here, there's a color coding over here, and you've got your criteria for what you think is important to include in your notes and what you don't think is important. So it's impossible for anybody to reconstruct the lecture based on the notes. Comes along Rabbi Shamshul Rafael Hirsch, and he offers the following analogy. The Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, are the notes to the lecture. The lecture is the Torah Shebaal Peh. The missing information that is extrapolated by forcing you to ask questions, oh, that's hidden in the Torah Shebichtav. And that was transmitted from Mipi HaGevura, the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Zkenim, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, all the way down to our generation. So we're going to discuss the meaning of the Mishnah. I want to share with you one last mashal, a very simple analogy which the Baal Shem HaKadosh offers to understand the relationship between the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Chumash Nach Mishnayas, Gemara, Halacha, Medrash, Chassidus, Musa, Hashkafa. Every chelik of the Torah has to find its source somewhere, either in the storyline, that's the non-legal side of the Torah, or if it's the legal side of the Torah, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, must find its source somewhere in Tariag Mitzvahs. Oh, so that means Mishnah is actually a Peirush to Tariag Mitzvahs. Gemara is a Peirush, an explanation of the Mishnah, which itself is a Peirush to Tariag Mitzvahs. Halacha are the legal outcomes, the legal conclusions of the discussions in the Gemara, which is a Peirush, an explanation of the Mishnah, which itself is the first listing, if you like, of the details of Tariag Mitzvahs. So comes along the Baal Shem HaKadosh, and he offers the following analogy to understand the relationship between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. He says, imagine a king. The king has vast wealth, treasuries, palaces, and he also has many slaves, servants, and his only son, the heir to the kingdom, he wants to bequeath all his treasures, everything. But he says to himself, you know, what will make my son appreciate and value this inheritance? If I gift it to him or if he has to work for it? So what does the king do? The king says to his son, I have built a palace for you. This palace is perfect. It is designed without the slightest flaw. There isn't any inconsistency. There are no mistakes. If you find a tile on the floor, slightly ajar, it's too high or too low, oh, that's not a mistake. This palace was created, built, designed with perfection. That means it's a clue. If you dig behind that tile, you will find the hidden treasure. If you notice that the ceiling doesn't meet in perfect right angles with the wall, oh, that's not a mistake. This palace is perfect. If you see what appears to be a mistake, oh, that's a clue. If you dig behind that mistaken angle, you will find treasure. So says the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the Torah Shebichtav is a perfect palace. Torah Hashem Tamima, Tamim, Chazal always tell us, means without mum. It's perfect. There's not the slightest nick, no inconsistencies, no mistakes. Any apparent inconsistency is in order to dig a little deeper, ask questions, and draw out the hidden information. So Kadosh Baruch Hu deliberately hid the massive, vast treasures that's inside the Torah Shebichtav in the Torah Shebaal Peh, so that anybody outside of Bnei Yisrael, all the nations, have no access to the Torah unless they're part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And so automatically, Bnei Yisrael have a very special, unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the heartbeat of the Torah is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the starting point of the Torah Shebaal Peh is Mishnayos, is the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So let's understand what this means. For 1300 years, children learned with their father, with their Rebbe, Vashinantam Levanecha, role model with passion and excitement, the Torah that you're living with your children. That's what the word Vashinantam really means. I'm not going into the details. We unfortunately translate it according to popular translation, which teaches your children. But actually the word Vashinantam doesn't mean teach. It really means shame from tooth. And the tooth is the function of chewing. And when you chew, it's the only moment that your child knows that you enjoy your food. Vishinantam levanecha, Chazal tells, means shinun, sharpen the minds of your children. Shinun also means repeat, from the word shinayim, teeth, that repeatedly chew. Sheni, twice. Shein means tooth. Oh, so in these multiple meanings, what Chazal are telling us is the Mishnah is the repetition of the entire Torah Shebaal Peh for the first time in writing. And by repeating the words again and again and again, learning the Mishnayos with review, which is the Ikar Limud, Chazara is the Ikar Limud, you build up a vast treasure of information that your mind can now compare similarities, this Mishnah to this Mishnah, this Nafka Minah in this Halacha to this one, and contrast the differences. When your mind is able to draw upon a large amount of information from shinun, repetition, and now you can sharpen your mind through shinun, comparing similarities, contrasting differences, you are building your ability to be mavhin, to distinguish, discriminate, and look at the world with an eye that says, I'm not going to follow what my eyes and my mind says. You know why? I'm going to follow Das Torah. If I'm going to learn enough Mishnayos, and eventually we'll get to the Gemara on the Mishnah, oh, so you know what's going to happen? The mind will be so saturated with Hashem's mind, that's the mind that I'm supposed to be screening the world through. Don't follow your thoughts and your eyes, because what you and I see in this world is not real. What we don't see is much more real. I'll explain. We have a word, chayim. Unfortunately, we're stuck with translations that are based on someone else's religion, so we translate it as life. But actually, there's no word in Lashon HaKodesh for life. There is no word. The word chay is not the singular of chayim, it's actually an adjective, it means alive. The word chayim literally translates as lives. You see, Lashon HaKodesh created reality. And because Lashon HaKodesh created reality, that means you can't have a word in Lashon HaKodesh for something that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as life. Chayim means lives, it's Lashon Rabim. Because we don't believe in one life. This world is Olam HaShekha, Olam HaDimyon, Olam HaNisayon. Olam HaNisayon, Olam HaShekha, Olam HaDimyon, Olam HaZeh. This world is not the real world. There's another dimension. Chayim means lives. We don't live for this world alone. The famous Hagdama in Mesillas Yesharim. We're preparing in this world for the next world. What really counts is Olam HaNitzchi, eternity. We're only here for 120 years, max. In fact, what do you say to someone on their 120th birthday? Have a nice day. So here we are, Olam HaZeh is not Chayim. Chayim is Olam HaZeh and Olam Haba. Oh, so when we're learning Mishnayos, what we're really doing is chewing the information. And the more you love it, the more you show you savor it, the taste of learning. Rabbi Meir says it's mutter. Rabbi Yosi says it's asa. Oh, Rabbi Shimon says tame. Oh, Rabbi Yishmael says it's tahor. Oh, and you know what happens now? Why do they say that? And this invites the mind. This provokes questions. This engages our thoughts. And we delve a little bit deeper. When the Mishnayos was written, the purpose was to remind us of the missing information that the Mishnah doesn't give us. Because the Chumash was written so you can't understand it, you're forced to ask questions and start drawing out what's missing, the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And then when the Mishnayos was actually written, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, how did he write Mishnayos? He wrote it with such a kitzer lashon, it's so terse and cryptic. The language is so codified that when you read the words, do you have all the information you need to understand what it's talking about? Oh, there's missing information. Where's that information? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote down a cryptic language, shorthand, so that you are forced to ask questions. Think. Within 300 years, Chazal had to write down the missing information that the Mishnah represented. What were the Sfaras behind Rabbi Shmuel, who said it's Tahor? Rabbi Meir, who said it's Tameh? Rabbi Yosi, who says it's Mutter? Rabbi Shimon, who says it's Asa? What are the Sfaras? And what's their source? Oh, it's this Brisa, or it's this Mishnah, or it's this Pasuk? Oh, but why are you learning from this Pasuk? Why not this Pasuk? And what ends up happening is the mind of the child, the student, is being drawn into conversation. Their mind is being engaged to think for itself and become part of the dialogue, which is Shas, which is Gemara, Mishnah. In order that when new situations come up, new applications, the mind will have to figure out and draw upon what our knowledge is of Mishnah, Gemara, and come out with a psak, come out with the halachic conclusions, which teaches me how to be a yid. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to be a frum Jew? And it really, if you were to select one of these different systems of information, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, the linchpin, if you had to identify one, which is the most pivotal, that is the one that links all the others together, it's the Mishnah. Why? Mishnah's Lashon Mishaneh, it changes where we really need to change. Where do I need to change? Shape of my body? Height? Not much I can do about that. Change my wardrobe? No, those are all externals. In Lashon HaKodesh, the perfect language, beged means clothing, boiged means traitor. Rabbeinu Shlomo, in your unlimited imagination, in English you've got one word for traitor, one word for clothing. Why do you have two meanings for what, coming out of one word? Oh, there are no mistakes in Lashon HaKodesh. A boiged, a traitor, is what my clothing is. My clothing betrays the real me. I'm not my clothing. I'm not even my body. So who am I? The real me is my mind. And which, what is it about my mind that's the real me? Oh, the neshama that was breathed into Adam HaRishon. From the pasuk in Eiv, the neshama is a chelik eloka mima'al. The real us is not our body. That's just the vehicle that carries us from one place to another. The real me is not my clothing. That betrays the real me. The real me is not my home. It's not my zip code. It's not the car I drive. It's not how many children in my family. The real me is what's going on between my ears, my mind. And what feeds my mind? Well, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the battery, the neshama, from the mind, it's dead. So comes along Shlach HaKadosh and offers to us that the word Mishnah is the exact same oishis, neshama. Why? Because the neshama of a human being, the neshama of a Jew, is the linchpin between a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chilik Eloka Mimal, that he breathed into us, and the life that we live. How will I live that life? So the neshama is what gives my body, the bottom of the scale, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, at the top, and the neshama in the middle, which is linking us. Mishnayos is the link between the Oraisa, the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mindset, Kaviyachol. Those aren't my words, Rabbi Avigdor Miller Hatzal said it many times. The Torah Kaviyachol, so to speak, is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mindset in writing for us to be able to understand him. That's why the letter Ois is made up of an Aleph, a Vav, and a Taf. An Aleph is the highest point in Ruchnius, Taf is the lowest point in Gashmius, Vav is the letter which means connect, Vav means a connector. Vav means and, because and connects hooks. That's what a Vav is, it's a hook. Oh, so an ice hooks the Spitz in Gashmius and the Spitz in Ruchnius, it hooks it together. Because the Oisius, the letters of the Torah, is Hashem's attempt, so to speak, to communicate to us his reality. Mishnah is all about being Mishana, changing our minds from seeing a world that's not real and connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality. What's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality? He gave us Tariag Mitzvahs, 613 instructions, which tells us how to live the most happy possible lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tariag Mitzvahs so that we know to take wool and turn it into tzitzit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, so we take wool, we turn it into clothing. We avoid shatnez, where the wool and linen are separated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the hide of a cow, we turn it into tefillin. We take the Olam HaGashmi through Tariq mitzvahs, we elevate it through Olam HaRuchni. And it's all because of Mishnayos, because the Mishnayos is what's opening up the meaning of Tariq mitzvahs. It's the first attempt to give us, what do Tariq mitzvahs mean? Because there's not a single mitzvah in the entire Torah that makes any sense on its own in the Torah Shebichtav. Not a single one. Any single mitzvah you want to look at makes no sense on its own. Even the most simple mitzvahs. V'ahavta recha kamecha. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what happens if I hate myself? How much do I have to love you? What happens if I'm suicidal? Oh my gosh, I can kill you in the name of the Torah. Or what about kibbut aveim? Oh, kabet et avicha ve'et imecha. What's complicated about honor your father and your mother? That's pretty clear. No. The Torah is not clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want the Oraisa to be clear so that the non-Jewish world has no access. Anyone outside of the Torah Shebaal Peh has no access to the Torah Shebichtav. Because kavet et avicha ve'et imecha, what does vav mean? And. Very good. What else does it mean? Oh, it also means or. So how do you read the Torah? Honor your father and your mother. Or does it mean honor your father or your mother? Now, if you know anyone who's separated, divorced, they know the answer to that question. But for most, it means honor your father and your mother. Okay, so you're going to assume that's logical. Fine. Look, one perek later, Parshas Mishpatim, in perek Kaf Aleph in Shmos, guess what you're going to find? Mikal el aviv ve'imai moishimas. If you curse or hit your father or your mother, then it's a death penalty. That's a pretty serious one. Or. Which one does it mean? Hit your father and your mother, or hit your father or your mother? I mean, can you imagine if it means and, then, because that's what we said, kavet et avicha vet imecha means, it means and. Oh, so if it means and over here, then I have to, dad and mom, could you put your heads together so I can, no, I mean, how else will I be able to be over on this issa? The Torah deliberately doesn't make sense to force you to ask questions. The Tariq mitzvahs, none of them make sense. In order, lo tirtzach doesn't mean don't kill, because the Torah Baal Peh tells me, haba l'harkecha, someone comes to kill you, what should I do? Wait for them, and if they're not successful, retaliate? No, we don't believe in retaliation. Hashkim l'hargo, get up early and kill him first. Oh, but wait a minute, it says lo tirtzach. Oh, yeah, but that is a principle. The application is not the principle. The application depends on the circumstances. So you need the Mishnayos to elaborate, what's the full range of muta asa, tame tahor? What's the full range of in between the two extremes that we can apply halacha in new situations? So Rabbeinu HaKadosh gave us the Mishnah, but he also wrote it in such a way we're still forced to go to a Talmid Chacham, which I will translate not according to the popular translation, according to Chazal. Talmid Chacham does not mean a Torah scholar, it means a student of a Chacham. Oh, so you are bringing attention to who did I get this information from? Oh, because we depend on a Masorah of live people. We learn much more from a live person than from a Sefer. And that's why the Torah Shebaal Peh was not meant to be written down, and it was Hayra Shah, last Mishnah in Brachas, it was Hayra Shah, it was an emergency measure that Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, no, if we don't write the Torah Shebaal Peh in the form of the Mishnah, we're going to forget it completely. So came along Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rambam in his Hagdama to Zoraim, Mishnayos Zoraim, he gives us the history, if you want to call it, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he explains why Rabbeinu HaKadosh, in his lifetime, was called HaKadosh, it's Gemara and Gittin, because he was extraordinary in his precious. He was arguably the most wealthy individual in the Jewish nation. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham, Gadol Hadar. He was the Nasi, he was the president of the Jewish people. He rubbed shoulders literally with the Caesar of the Roman Empire. There's much more to be said on that, but the piece I want to bring out, what Rambam brings out, is really the following. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was perfectly situated to be the right person at the right time to write the Mishnayos. What does that mean? All the Shmuos, all the statements that all the Hachamim had from their Rebbe, Talmud Chacham, who was himself a Talmud of a Chacham, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, they had all these statements which remained Torah Shebaal Peh, but now had to be written down. So he financed hundreds of the Tanaim to sit down and record all the statements that they had heard from their Rebbe, who heard from their Rebbe all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the time when Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw Beruach HaKodesh, that we're about to enter the last of the four exiles, Golas Edom. And if we didn't write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, it would be forgotten. So the original intent in writing the Mishnayos was to preserve the Torah Shebaal Peh, but in such a way, similar to the Torah Shebichtav, that when you read the Mishnayos, you're not going to understand what you need to understand from it. There's still missing information. Oh, you have to go to another Talmud Chacham to get the Gemara. Within 300 years, Chazal saw they had to write down the Gemara as well, the explanation. But when they did, they didn't feed you. What's the format of Gemara? Question, answer, problem, solution. Oh, it ensures that the transmission of Torah continues to be a dialogue. Dialogue means Rebbe Talmud engaged in their minds. Milchamta shel Torah. It's a battle of minds to break through the psukim, understand the terse, cryptic, codified kitzel lashon of the Mishnah, and pull out all the svaras that are contained there, learn all the possible extremes, muta asa on two extremes, tamei tahor on the extremes, and all the possible psak halachas that will come out of the 13 middas, the 13 tools, if you like, which Chazal employed in order to be able to dairesh. Dairesh does not mean interpret. That's a very dangerous term, because interpretation means my life experience interprets this information. No. It's exactly the opposite. Drush comes from the two-letter root dash. Dash means to extrapolate. That means to say, if you want to come up with your own pshat, if you got it from the 13 middos, shahad, Torah, and the dreshes, bahen, hey, that's great. And you come up with, you say it's muta, and Rabbi Meir says it's asa, Rabbi Yishmael says tame, and Rabbi Yehuda says taha, elu ve'elu. Both are correct. Tivrei Elokim chayim. If I want to come up with my own pshat, in anywhere in the Torah, you know what I have to do? I have to show you where in the words that pshat is. Because it's not pshat my mind on the Torah. The pshat is I'm extrapolating information that's already in there. So for me to come up with a chiddush, I have to show you where it is in the words. So the Gemara was written in such a way that it maintains the engagement of the minds. But the linchpin between halacha at the end of the whole Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha. The Halacha, which are the legal conclusions of how to apply Tariq Mitzvahs in my life, the linchpin between the Chumash and the Halacha of how to be a Yid, how to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how to do his Rotzen, is Mishnah. Because Mishnah is the turning point that changes us from just getting the raw information of Chumash and Mishnayos to using our minds to ask questions. And that changes our mind. Shinui. Mishnah. Now I want to share with you what the Shlach Kodesh says in Masecht HaShavuos. Famously, he tells us that when Chazal tell us that the writers of the Mishnah were amongst those who destroyed the world, destroyers of the world, it's a very strong statement, says Shlach Kodesh, that was only if you were to look at Mishnayos and study it raw and not learn the halachic applications that comes out of the Gemara based on the Mishnah. So that would be destruction, because people would be paskening from the Mishnah, and that's not why the Mishnah was written. The Mishnah was written to be the linchpin between the Torah Shebichtav and the massive, unlimited layers of the Torah Shebaal Peh that can be extrapolated from the Torah Shebichtav. Comes along the Shlach Kodesh and says, but now that we have the Rambam's Perush on the Mishnah, which gives you a kitzer of the pshat and halachic conclusions of the Gemara on the Mishnah, and you have the Rav Bar Tanura, says the Shlach Kodesh, learning Mishnah gets elevated. It's a limit in of itself. And the more we learn Mishnayos and Chazara, the more our understanding of Gemara is superior. Because the Gemara is a Perush to the Mishnah. So if I don't have the skeleton, how do I learn a Perush to something that I'm not clear on? Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Tainis, Dav Zayin, that if you find a Talmud that finds learning kasha kibarzel, it's like just not going in. What might be one of the reasons? So Chazal revealed to us, because his Mishnayos, the Mishnah is not suda alav, it's not arranged, it's not organized. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the spitz, the quintessential organizer, because he took Tariag mitzvahs, which are located in no apparent sequence throughout the Torah, and he divided them under six sections, Shisha Sadorim, and those sections he then subdivided into 63 Masechtas, 63 separate tractates. Then every single Masechta, he then subdivided yet again into numbered chapters, Prakim, and then every Perek has a numbered paragraph called a Mishnah. It's incredible organization. And if you follow the logic of that Sfara that claims Yesh Seder LeMishnah, then when you pay attention to not only the information of Mishnah Aleph to Mishnah Beis and Gimel and Dalet, and start noticing the link, noticing the connection, noticing the association, You will also, in that Chazal, yesh seder l'mishnah, there is organization, there is sequence to the Mishnah. It's not arbitrary. You will be able to identify how within every Mishnah there's structure. In fact, when you learn Gemara, you will notice that the Gemara always goes sequentially through the Mishnah, tackling the first problem that it notices at the beginning of the Mishnah, and then once it's finished that part of the sugya, starts with the next part of the Mishnah in sequence. Yesh seder l'mishnah. Learning Mishnayos is a way to organize information. Learning Mishnayos, says the Shulchan Kodesh, is a whole new chiyuv today, because we've got the Pirushim. Today we have Mishnayos pictorial. We've got Mishnayos with the Yad Avram Pirush from Art Scroll. Today, I don't have an excuse for not learning Mishnayos. It's been brought down to whichever level of a beginner you want to identify. We've got pictures and Pirushim in English and other languages. But the Ikka is learn systematically from beginning to end and do Chazara. And with that, especially before the Gemara that you're going to learn, if you learn the Masechta of the entire Mishnayos of that Gemara first, you're putting yourself at a tremendous advantage. Truthfully, I mean, Alpi Chazal, every single Gemara is assuming you know all of Mishnayos. And the obvious proof of that is that the Gemara is constantly cross-referencing from Brises and Mishnayos all over Shas. So it's assuming that we have that. So really, we're supposed to have had that amazing, vast, critical mass of information that Mishnayos provides for us before learning Gemara. But even if I'm not following Ben Chameshanu Nikra, Ben Esel Mishnah, Ben Chameshesrei the Talmud, if I'm not going to follow Chazal, at least I should learn the Mishnayos on the Masechta of the Gemara that I'm going to learn. I want to share with you the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph tells us, Ki Dvar Hashem Bize. It's a Pasuk Mishlei that a person could disdain, show degradation for the word of Hashem. What's that referring to? So comes along Chazal and tell us, Mish Einu Mashkiach Al HaMishnah. Someone who is not supervising learning Mishnah. Rashi spells it out even more. She'oseh k'she'ein ha'ikah. He makes learning Mishnayos as though it's not important. That's not really the Taich. Ikka means the root. Yeah. Because Mishnayos is the root of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishnayos is the heartbeat of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Your neshama is the heartbeat, the ruchniyistic battery that's inside that gives you life force. You take the Aleph out of Adam. Aleph is Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim. The first time the letter Aleph appears in the Torah is in the word Elohim. Aleph, Elohim. You take the Aleph out of Adam, you're left with Dam. Dam means blood, the life force of a human being. Doim, inanimate, dead, gone. Oh, but the Neshama, where does that go? Oh, that continues forever. You can't destroy the Neshama. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu created man, Vayitzar Hashem Elohim Adam, Afa min Adama, V'yipach be'afpav nishmas chayim. Oh, interesting. Adam was created, in the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the earth of the soil of the land, number one. And then number two, Kadosh Baruch Hu breathed into man a nishmas chayim, a soul of lives. Yeah, it's a soul that lives throughout every life. We're not going to Gilgal, but yes, this world and the next. It's eternal. And that's why Mishnah is the one type of limud, more than any other, that when someone is nifter, we don't learn chumash. You can, and it will be a schus. We don't say, okay, let's learn Gemara. Yes, you can, and people do. But that's not what you'll see at the list during the Shiva. You'll see a list of Mishnayos, Masechtas of Mishnah. And that's what you're celebrating here, understanding the beauty of how Mishnayos is not only helping us get clarity on Targ Mitzvahs and preparation for learning the Masechta of the Gemara that I'm going to learn on this Masechta of Mishnayos, or Shisha Shidrei Mishnah, or at least one Seder of Mishnayos and then learn Gemara on that, you're also feeding your neshama. But if you're learning it, Lezecha Nishmas, another person, oh, that's a whole new story. Why? The neshama of a human being is only elevated as much as they invested in this world. But there are people who are smart in business that they don't just invest in a store, but they invest in something that creates residual income. that they put their money somewhere where the money makes more money. Oh, that's smart. You have to be able to do that. You may have to have a little bit extra money to be able to do that. Don't do it with your bread and butter money. No, you need that for your groceries, you need that for your mortgage, for your rent, for tuition, for utilities. Oh, you've got extra? Invest your money in a way that it will create dividends, that it will work for you. Residual income, where you're not working, but the money continues to. I'm using this as a very simple mashal because in Sefer Gesher HaChayim, one of the most popular Sfarim on Avelus, tells us the most beautiful story that's brought by, I think, Rabbi Yisrael Salant, of twins in a womb. I think they've made a song out of it since then. You got twin boys in a womb, and they're having a conversation. Just imagine, in your imagination, you got two boys with the intelligence of adults, and they're in the womb, twins. And one saying to the other, you know, life is so good. It's so good. Look, the insulation, the protection. Nutrition comes straight into through our umbilical cord. You know, and would you just relax and basically you're sunbathing in this warmth, perfect temperature. It's just so good. And then the other brother, who's a bit of a tom, says, well, you do realize that this is not going to go for forever. Eventually, we're going to leave this beautiful world. And when we do, we're going to enter a world immeasurably greater than this one. So the sophisticated brother who says, you've been watching too many videos. What are you talking about? This is it. This world is it. Can't you see? Look, look. It's so warm, insulated, support, nutrition, protection. Everything we need is here. No, says the Tom. One day we're going to leave this world and you know what's going to happen to your legs? They're going to unfold. And your legs are actually going to carry your body wherever you want. Your eyes will open and you will see a whole new world immeasurably greater than the womb. And in that world, you'll see in full color. Your mouth will open and you will talk and receive food instead of through your umbilical cord. And the sophisticated brother says, you know what, this is ridiculous. Where are you getting these chalomas from? You're dreaming. And suddenly, the womb begins shaking and the tom is sucked out. And the sophisticated brother says, no, my brother, where's he gone? He's dead, he's gone forever. And he's crying, mourning the death of his brother, not realizing that the screams on the other side, Mazel Tov, it's a boy, is celebrating the birth of a child entering a world immeasurably greater than the womb. So comes along, Shlomo HaMelech, Hachem Kol Adam, Toiv Shem, Mishem and Toiv. A good name. Oh, you know what that takes to get a good name? A good reputation? Oh, Ben Adam Chaverei, Ben Adam Namakom. To build a good reputation where people don't have tainas against you, they don't hear you speak Lashon Hara, they don't hear you bad mouth, hurt other people's feelings. It's a lifetime career. Toiv Shem, a good name, is superior, Mishem and Toiv, then good ointment, good oil. Oil, hey, that's a really valuable commodity. Oil, light, warmth, fire, petroleum, gas. Toiv Shem, no, a good name is superior to Shem and Toiv. And just as the two are worlds apart, it's not nearly as much as V'yoyim ha-maves miyom yivaladai. The day of death is immeasurably greater than the day a person's born. Because when we leave this world, now begins the party. Elam hazeh, it's just a pruzdor. This is just the reception room. No, don't ever think the smorgasbord is it. Oh, if you think this is a party, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because as soon as the doors open at the end of the reception hall and you enter, oh my gosh, look at the party. This is the banquet. Olam hazeh doyim leprusdai bifnei olam haba. Hatken atzmecha, prepare yourself. Fix yourself. In the prusdor, at the smorgasbord. Kedei shetekanes letraklin, so that when we enter into the real world, we are prepared. What does that mean? How am I preparing for the next world? When you leave a child behind, when a parent leaves a child behind, and that child continues doing mitzvahs and Torah, oh, that elevates the neshama, because the neshama can only go as far as it has done in this world. Oh, but if it's invested in children who are Yodea Sefer, and those children are learning Mishnayos, oh, Mishnayos, Mishnah, Neshama, it's all connected. Of all the Shvatim, Asher, Chazal tell us, learned the most Tosh Baal Peh from his father. Even though Shevet Levi were the transmitters later on, Asher is the one person of all the Shvatim that Chazal tell us that he, when someone Hashem goes to Gehenim and screams out, "Can anyone pull me out?" Asher comes and says, "Did you learn any Mishnayos? Oh, you did? You're mine." And he'll pull him out. Oh, interesting. You see, we don't believe in one life. We believe in Chayim, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. And Mishnayos is elevating the Neshama in the next world, because what I do down here affects the big picture, the real world, Olam Haba. So Mishnayos is the one limud over and above all the others that is selected, because it's the linchpin. Someone who's got the most Mishnayos is probably going to understand the Gemara the best. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein of blessed memory, he used to make one siyum a year for finishing Shisha Sidrei Mishnah just for the seder he had in Mishnayos during Lecha Dodi. While Lecha Dodi was continuing with, he was finishing up his Mishnayos. He had many other siyumim of Mishnayos more than once a month, but this was just one, just for that period of time. Amazing. Just during Lecha Dodi, the whole year, he was able to finish Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. It wasn't the first time he was learning it was Chazara. And the more Chazara, the faster it gets. But that's the linchpin. That's the preparation for really knowing Gemara well. Because what's the Gemara? Oh, the Gemara is constantly cross-referencing Mishnayos and Brises. So Chazal tell us, Le'olam havi ratz le'mishnah. Consistently, Le'olam is a very strong language. It means consistently or constantly. It's a very, very powerful language. Consistently, constantly, Le'olam ya'adam ratz le'mishnah. A person should constantly run to the mitzvah, to the Mishnah. Over and above other limudim. Not because it's necessarily superior to Gemara, but it's the linchpin that connects Tarek Mitzvahs to the Halacha, which the Mishnah and the Gemara is in between. And the Mishnah is the one that prepares us the most. If you were to ask who's got the greatest chus of learning Torah, I'm not the one who can say, but I'm speculating the following. The Beis Yosef, Rabbeinu Yosef Karo. And here's the logic. It's a very powerful logic, very simple logic. Rashi, he holds our hand, Chumash and Gemara. Oh my gosh, who wouldn't want the schus of Rashi? But what's the purpose of learning Chumash? What's the purpose of learning Mishnayos? What's the purpose of learning Gemara? Oh, it's in order to come out with the halachic applications. How to be a Jew. How to do Rotzon Abayre. How to be Basimcha in the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, so the real tachlis of all the limudim is Almanas. Lasos? Yeah. It's not lilmod almanas lilamed. That's praiseworthy. But you know what's the highest level? Lilmod almanas lasos. That's why the Marashah says, La'amal adam yulad. Pasuk in Iyov. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ashrei misha amala b'toira. Says the Marashah, La'amal adam yulad is the oisis. La'amal is the oisis. Lilmod almanas lasos. The purpose of all learning ultimately has to be, Rebbein Shalom, what do you want me to do? How do I apply what I've learned in my marriage with this child, in my health, in my finances? How do I be loyal as an employee with money? How am I honest in integrity in the workplace? How do I get along with my co-workers? And the Torah gives us directives on every level. So comes along Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, who first wrote a Peirush to the Rambam and then the Torah, and finally wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And what does he attribute the unbelievable schus to? He learned Mishnayos, Baal Peh, all the time. And he would learn Mesechtas, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He actually had Sedarim where he would finish the whole of Mishnayos once a week. The point I want to bring out in his Sefer Magid Misharim, a Malach, who was the Malach over the Mishnah, came to him and learnt with him every night. And what was the schus of that? Because of Mishnayos. So Rabbi Yosef Karo, he was zeicher to be the Machaber of Shulchan Aruch, which Ad Hayom is the starting point of almost all the legal applications of how to be a from Jew. What a schus! Now you could argue, hey, Rambam fed into that, because a lot of the psak is based on the Rambam. I'm not taking away from that, but what I am bringing out is that Sus came about because of his rive, his abundant learning of Mishnayos. Sequential chazara, sequential learning from one beginning of the Masechta to the end, and then another Masechta, and constant review. That's the secret to success in learning, Mishnayos. I conclude, Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, in Perek Gimel, Eis Zayin, tells us that it's in the Schus of Mishnayos there'll be Kibbutz Galias. It's in the Schus of Mishnayos Yavai Mashiach, Mashiach will come. That's not small, that's gigantic. Let me explain a possible meaning of why it is that Mishnayos is the one that's going to bring those two before Tchias HaMesim, because those are the two major events that's going to happen before Tchias HaMesim. Kibbutz Galias, coming of Mashiach. How does that work? So there's a chazal in Psikta Rabasi, Perek Hei, Ois Aleph, that tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everyone to Yom HaDin, all the non-Jewish nations will say, we're your children. And B'nai Yisrael say, no, we're your children. So how will that get sorted out? So it comes along Chazal and tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, well, when I gave the Torah at Har Sinai, I gave it to B'nai Yisrael. So the Christians and the Muslims are going to say, yeah, but we also believe in the Torah Shebichtav. And they actually do. So they're saying, we're also your children. Yishmael, Esav. Comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, oh, but there's one way to be sure who are my kids, who are my children. Because, and I'm going to share with you this beautiful mashal, under the chuppah of Mamad HaSinai, the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, marries the queen, B'nai Yisrael. So in this mashal, the king gives the queen a rock, diamond, massive diamond, and places it on her finger. And this diamond is an external demonstration of the king's love for his beloved queen. But he also whispered in her ears only words that the queen could hear, nobody else. Ask the queen, which is more precious to you, the diamond ring or those words of Chavivus that are completely unique and intimate to king and queen, husband and wife? Who said diamond? Win my job. There were three mothers on Broadwalk. They were boasting to each other where they go to get their diamonds polished. Mrs. Koshlevsky, Mrs. Horowitz, and Mrs. Cohen. Actually, they ran out of fingers. The diamonds were like, they had no more room. So they're boasting where they go to get it polished. And Mrs. Koshlevsky says to Mrs. Horowitz, you want to, I tell you where I go to get my diamonds polished? You don't want to know, but I tell you anyway. We have this man, oh, he's so expensive. On 47th Street in Manhattan, he's very expensive, but you know, he's worth every penny. I send it FedEx, comes back the next day, this is beautiful, fuck. It's worth every penny. Ms. Horowitz, where do you go when you want your diamonds polished? Oh, you don't want to know, I tell you anyway. We actually charter the Concorde, and I send my diamonds to Tokyo. We have a man there, he is so expensive, he's worth every penny. And we charter the flight back and we get it within 2 days. And he does a beautiful job. And Mrs. Cohen, where do you go? And Mrs. Cohen has one diamond between her 10 fingers. Mrs. Cohen, where do you go when you want your diamond polished? So Mrs. Cohen says, diamond, myman, schmeimond, polish, mollished. I don't really bother. I throw it away and I buy another one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah Shebichtav, a diamond, which is his demonstration of his love to us, to the world outside. Zois HaTorah! Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. Oh, but you know what else he did? He whispered in our ears the Torah Shebaal Peh, which nobody has access to unless you're part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'atid Lavoi, when the nations will say, but we're your children too! Hashem will say, yes, who knows the mysteries of my Torah? Who knows the secrets? Who remembers the whispers? And what you're learning today, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, are the echoes of the Torah Shebaal Peh that started Mamad HaSinai. And Mishnayos is the linchpin. Mishnayos is the pivotal piece that links it all together. And it's in the Schus, Be'ezvar Hashem, of taking Mishnayos more seriously for the sake of my Gemara learning and for the sake of clarifying all the Tariq mitzvahs, may we zoicha to bring a lot of nachas ruach to our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, who are all elevated for having brought us into this world by learning Mishnayos, and bring ultimately nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the coming of Mashiach, b'mehir v'meinu, Amen.